Well, hey, welcome everybody. This is Dave. I hope you guys are doing great. I love our reunions. I'm eager to hear from you. I know there are some announcements that some of you have, but let's start out just with a check-in. Who's here and what would you like to talk about? Just bring us up to date about what you're doing.
Hi, Dave. This is Artie Pullman.
Hey,
I'm still
welcome.
A Detroit.
How are you?
Yeah, I know.
Are you still stateside, or are you off doing your work?
I'm off doing my work. So I'm calling
us,
on my lunch
give
break.
Us, give us a summary of that, because I think it's fascinating.
Basically, I have a contract with the Department of Homeland Security, and I go out to different disasters and help survivors with their grief. And right now, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and I've been here for 4 months. I think I'll be here another 2 months. And prior to that, I was in Puerto Rico for 10 months. So that's what I'm doing.
Though,
I'm
work- go ahead.
No, I'm working long hours and helping survivors.
Now, even though you're a doc, are you using more coaching or more therapy or some combination of all of the above?
A combination of all of the above.
Okay. Well, congratulations on that work, and that's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you were able to join us. How's your, coaching practice going, or is that
it's going well. You remember I had a celebrity before I was working with a celebrity?
Yes.
I worked with him for a year, and he's referring someone else to me, but again, my schedule.
Terrific.
Yeah, so hopefully by this summer. To get together.
That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Exciting to hear.
Thanks so much.
For sharing that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, who else? Is Jerry here?
I am right here. Hey, hi, Dave.
Tell us about your, give us your whole name and where you are and about your book coming out.
Sure. Thank you so much for the time. I'm Geraldine Brown Gianblanco, and I live in Clinton, Connecticut, on the shoreline of beautiful side of Connecticut, and I'm about to publish a book next month, and the final edits, actually, we're just formatting book and all that jazz. It's a memoir. It's called Geraldina and the Compass Rose, One Woman's Faith-Filled Journey to Find Love, and it's basically a story of my life being single for 30 years. It's a long wait, and I met my husband at the age of 50. So it's all the stories and the journey throughout till I get to this point. But something very miraculous happens that caused me to write the book. And I have to tell you, Dave, that when we did the Live Your Life story and I had to write that case study and I had to go back and do it again the right way, that was very instrumental in me getting to where I needed to go as an author for this book. So that process was very instrumental, and I'm definitely going to be talking about it to other to my clients going forward, how that all worked.
Well,
right now, the is getting it published.
Back and congratulations. When will it, you know, as I mentioned, I tried to buy it on Amazon. But
I know.
Can it be available for pre-publication? When you do that, whenever the release date is, you have a big hit of all the pre-published because that's when they record as sold, so you get a blip. Then who's publishing you?
I'm working with the Amazon Kindle, and but you know, I've heard some other things about maybe it's not that great of an idea to pre, but so I'm in the process of making that decision.
Okay.
If I do that, it'll be it will probably be in the next 3 weeks.
Okay. My advice, I have a book coming out the 1st of March in Paragon House. And my editor, publisher rather, suggested that I let my sort of in-house group know about this for pre-publication so that whenever it's released, there is a hit on that date, but then let everybody else know and do all the marketing after that. So there
that is great advice.
Is some benefit to have a hit the date of the release because it jumps it up.
Okay. I will do that. Talking to my
thank you to all of you who sort of would bear with me through those early white papers. Some of those are ones that comprise the Engaging the Ineffable Toward Mindfulness and Meaning that's coming out in a couple of weeks. They're basically components of stories that we all have, and these ineffables are things we engage daily, but each one is more like a Rorschach that we each have a different meaning and may not be aware. So it's kind of a group of literary essays, as you remember from some of the white papers, concepts like desire, time, story, hope, mastery, things like that that we use every day, but may not have as full an appreciation of. So, all right, way enough about me. Who else? What's going on, guys?
Hi, Dave. This is Erica Pembroke.
Welcome. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, well, it's always a pleasure to hear everyone's wonderful stories. I'm in a bit of a transition. So I work with, currently, I work for a company that works primarily with weight loss and fitness clients. And so people come, it's a very boutique style, and people will come for a period of 2 weeks to 3 months, more or less. So the clients I see are, you know, some of them are one-offs. I may see them, talk to them for maybe a week or 2 weeks or maybe 2 months. And I have received a few clients, kind of graduates from the program. So what I'm finding, I'm kind of, and maybe just to get some advice from you or everyone else out there, is I'm finding that the women I'm really resonating with are women like myself who are perimenopausal, and a lot of them have low testosterone. And so I'm doing a little bit of research on that, and I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of hone in my niche with regards to this clientele.
Okay, great question to pose this to our group, and as I always encourage you to use it as a mastermind group, because we have all kinds of expertise. Anybody want to log in on your experience or your coaching experience about Erica's question? Great question.
Do you address hypercortisolism or anything around that with the...
You know, not often, to be honest. So that's definitely something to keep in mind, most definitely.
Yes, if you... Yeah, this is Jerry. I was just talking earlier.
Yes, hi, so, Jerry. Yeah, hi.
If you, we could do this offline, I would love to share something with you.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
One thing I would remind you, if you have anything that interfaces with healthcare, to be absolutely certain of two things. One is that you have a contract with each person that clearly distinguishes what you do as professional coaching and makes that distinct from healthcare, and that you have a clear idea so that you can convey that in words and or in writing about what you do in terms of coaching, and that it's not healthcare, so that those two distinctions are not just a thin gray line but a broad black line, and you have that contract. And a copy of that, of the contract I use, that was vetted by a couple of attorneys since I, you know, came from healthcare, is in the curriculum in the resources section, and there's a copy of it on my website under the coaching tab, the client information packet, and it's part of that client information packet that I have someone fire back to me. And again, you don't have to have a website to do that. You can do it as an attachment to have that client information packet sent back to you, but it's a part of that. So I just wanted to remind you, I know you probably do this and do it automatically, but I just wanted to remind anybody who has anything that even whispers of an interface to think about that. So any
yes,
other responses
absolutely.
To Erica's question?
Well, and Dave, I want to say one more thing, and then I'll pass it on. But I've been studying the coaching transitions, and that to me is that has kind of been, I think, the bridge for me. That's kind of brought me to this place that it's talking about the overwhelm these women are experiencing, and all of these transitions kind of seem to be happening simultaneously. So it's more about teasing all of that out for them, and then really getting in place what's really important to them to be able to make the most of their life and kind of how they want to go, you know, from this point forward. So that's been hugely helpful, is just that last little mini teleseminar on coaching transitions. So I really appreciate that information.
And for anyone, that's still available as each of those four were recorded. If you have lost that link or want to look at it, just let me know. There's one coming up in April. I'll have to look at the date. It may be sooner than that. Many of you have participated in this, but in case you want to review and in case you're a fan of redundancy, there's a four-part teleseminar on coaching wellness, and I will send out an invite to all of you for that if you're interested.
Well, thank you so much.
Anything else to Erica? Well, let's continue our check-ins and wins and progress notes and anything you want to bring to the group. I have a couple of things I may, if we have time and if you're interested, add to the neuromarketing that you received, the first ebook. Now, the audio is not has not been added yet, and there's a second and a third, and I will send the second ebook as a, quote, white paper for the next quarterly mentor group, so that you'll see the next will be the neuroscience of persuasion, and then the third one will be a composite kind of neuromarketing. And also, thank each of you for your flexibility for moving this back a week with me being out last week doing a workshop. So, other questions, thoughts, things that you'd like to talk about. What's going on for each of you? Any announcements, new offerings, things that you're up to now that we haven't heard about? Well, who else is here? Who wants to say hi? Talk to me.
Dave, this is Lauren Smith from Duxbury.
Hey,
how are you?
How are you holding Massachusetts together?
Very good. Did some skiing on Saturday. It's very cold here.
Yeah.
Well,
tell us about your practice, Lauren. I think it's fascinating what you're doing. Just give us a quick overview of what you're up to.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm a relationship coach. I see couples and individuals. I would say the majority of my individuals are men, so I'm really actually marketing myself as a men's relationship coach. I love working with my guys. And what I wanted to say is I just working really. And today it was a goal of mine this year to
Wait,
update
would you
it
say that
time.
Last sentence again? We lost you a little bit. Spin around
a
little
I'm
bit
sorry.
If you're on a cell. okay, that's worse. Do what you
live.
Were doing before and try it again.
All right, now can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. Thanks.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I just launched my new website this week, which I'm super excited about. My last website, I think I completed in 2012. And so what I was realizing is the content and the message was really my an old way of working and coaching, and I wanted it to be more – ooh, there's some bad noise there. I wanted it to be more reflective of who I am as a coach today. And it was a very therapeutic process. Ooh, I can't hear anybody. No. I lost everybody.
No, you're there now. That's better.
Ooh. So I don't know what you guys heard because I had loud music in my ear.
I think we got it about the transition in the website, and the last was 2012. So how did you approach this current website in a different way?
So what I actually did was I sought the help of two experts to help me, A, design it, because I'm not a website designer, and B, someone to help me basically be a ghostwriter for sending my message out. So my message and the actual way I'm coaching today was more more congruent, and it was an awesome experience. I would recommend both women who I used to help do this process. The three of us all worked together to come up with my message, my branding, what it is I do. I liked they were very systematic, and I need structure, so it was very helpful to have deadlines, things I needed to have either edited or for them by a certain amount of, you know, a certain time and day. The whole experience actually was actually a lot of fun and super creative. And I just added acuity scheduling to my website, which I was a little nervous about, but I'm going for it anyway, which is now if clients talk to me initially for their 15 to 20 minute free, you know, this consult interviewing each other to see if we're a good fit, I have all of my paperwork on the web now. They go right there, fill out all the forms, as well as they can schedule with me now. So I'm just trying this all on, but I am super excited about it.
Super. Well, that's great. We'll be eager to hear how it goes.
Lauren, what's your website? And I love the information about the people who helped you.
Sure. It's mewe relationships.com. MeWeRelationships.com.
Why don't you send that information about the people who helped you and your website to me, and I'll compile all the references that we gather or the things that people may be interested in, send it out in one email as a summary of our meeting today.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that. And the other thing that's coming along with this launch is I have increased my coaching rates again, thanks to my coaching with Dave. And it is really incredible. I mean, I just keep raising them, and people keep paying them. So I am super excited mm-hmm. about that. And I've gotten to the point where I'm really over my fear of just clearly stating what my fee is. And so now I'm in a place where I have a certain set retainer. I charge by the month. They pay me on the first of every month. They have to work with me for a minimum of 3 months, and I'm about to change the way I do couples and set a different rate, which I've never done before, but the reality is it is more work. They're in contact with me, so that's two versus one person, and I've never really compensated myself for that in-between extra time. So I am going to set a new price for couples as soon as I come up with it.
You sound comfortable, confident, and successful. Would you share with us, Lauren, what you charge and basically
sure.
what the difference is of individual and couple? I think it'll give everybody a good idea.
Sure. So my expertise is really couples coaching, so I do get a lot of referrals from other practitioners and therapists. My fee currently for couples is $14.50 a month, but I'm going to increase it. And the way I work with couples is I work with them every other week for 2 hours. So they basically come see me, or I Skype or Zoom or FaceTime or phone coach with the couple every other week for a 2 hour session. And we set the same day, the same time every other week for 3 months. Then in between, they can text me, email me, call me for any type of lifelines. I got life rings for them. If they need a 10-minute coaching call or a quick text, or they want me to review some communication before they email something, I offer that as interim support. My individual coaching is I charge $14.50 a month, retainer fee, charge on the first of every month for the first 3 months, and the client works with me for 50 minutes, same time, same day, every week, and they also get that same interim support.
That's terrific. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody want to add or ask or comment on that? I think it's a great example. And many of you have heard me say before, if you go into a restaurant and the average entrees are between 17 and $27. If there's one entree that's a lobster on sale for $5.25, how many of you would buy the lobster? You go with the perceived value of how we set our prices. That's the perceived value. We live into that, and our clients get that value. And I believe that if we don't charge what we're worth, a client can't get the full value of that. So thank you very much for sharing. Any other discussion about that? Or anyone else want to share anything or ask anything about that whole area? I think it's a great model, Lauren. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, great. Who else wants to check in and anything else to talk about? What about any questions to the group? To use the group as a mastermind, any challenges or issues that anyone has? I know there are, I see on my dashboard, there are a lot of people here. And I welcome any questions that you have for our group to brainstorm about. Does anyone want to talk any about anything in the ebook about the whole aspect of influence or even more broadly, neuromarketing? Or have any questions that you'd like to discuss about that? I'd rather not move into anything informational or didactic until we have a full discussion, and I feel like there's more that each of you may have that you'd like to add or ask or just bring us up to date about what you're up to. So I welcome anybody jumping in with an update. I've got my hand extended. Don't leave me hanging with a high five. Anyone? Would you like to talk about any aspects of neuromarketing or just of marketing that anything in the ebook stimulated or questions that any of you have that maybe got stimulated by reading the material?
Dave, it's Jerry. I love that. I read it this morning. You saw my little note to you. And I thought it was really helpful about not having to sell something because it's the – I don't know. Maybe you can reiterate how you put it as far as the persuasion. It's not about trying to sell somebody something. It's about them believing in what it is that you have done. I'm not saying it in your words.
Yeah,
so
no, that makes sense. Even better that it's in your words because it's not about us. It's about the client. And the whole area of neuromarketing is studying the way the brain responds to various kinds of input in order to understand decision patterns. And that's something that I think is important for us as coaches to know because we're not accustomed as professionals to marketing ourselves. It's almost anathema to market ourselves, so it's something we have to work out and to work at so that we so that we do it. So it's helpful to know how people's brains work if we're going to interact with them to get them to engage with us in a way to purchase something like a service or a product. And one of the things that I think is striking is how a number of studies have shown that people actually make decisions several seconds before they're even consciously aware. One study showed that people solved a puzzle 8 seconds before they were consciously aware of having solved it. and neuroeconomists show that we make a purchase decision up to 10 seconds before we're even conscious of that. So if we deconstruct that in terms of how we have a conversation with a potential client, and from this first, I'm trying to sort out what was in the first e-book that you have, because it can get sort of a blur to me. I talked about from the first sentence, anyone says, in order to really pay attention, we need to know what happens next. When we want to know what happens next, then that fires the dopamine systems. We pay attention. This is the neuroscience secret of everything from bestsellers to successful product and service launches, because we're wired for story. And when we engage someone in a story, then that helps to create a collaborative mindset. So the brain seeks patterns. By understanding the patterns, we can structure the kinds of responses. One thing that's really important, I think, is that neuroeconomic research has shown that we make a purchase decision when the part of our brain that's associated with identity becomes activated. A neuroeconomist can line up 10 people hooked up to fMRIs and show them 10 objects and indicate that one of these is something that we want you to make a decision to purchase one of these. For each person, they can tell when they look at the object who will pick what object of those 10, because that's the person and the part of their brain that a specific area that has to do with a sense of self-identity lights up. And when that part of the brain lights up that has to do with identity, they're going to purchase that product. So that's something that is important to remember, that it's not what we say to someone that's remembered. It's what they say to themselves as a response to what you say that they remember. We're the catalyst. So that's why it's important to remember, we talked about drawing a circle, drawing a stick figure inside that circle. That's your potential client or your potential customer. They will listen to you when you get inside that circle, but you have to resonate with their challenge. So that's the first component of a story. That's the first component of engagement, is that you have to resonate with their challenge. Then you can go someplace new together. Then you can develop that story and create a resolution. Remember, we talked before also in this mentor group as well about how when you make a recommendation to a client about your services, if you do it, say, after a sample session, that you create this same scenario of a story, the three components, the challenge, the development, the resolution, as you make your recommendation for your professional services, and that you summarize it much as Lauren did about what you hear the challenge of the individual to be in a sentence, what you will offer, and then the recommendation of what it includes in the fee. So in three succinct sentences, you have your recommendation following the components of the development of the story that you've developed in the sample session or in the conversation that you've had. So this is about focusing on the person first and not about your story, but really understanding their story. Thoughts? Questions?
Well, I'll just share, it's Jerry, when I was picking out the subtitle of my book, I dropped off the at 50 at the end, so the subtitle reads now as One Woman's Faith-Filled Journey to Find Love. And I was thinking about all that you're talking about now as well. Part of me was divided on creating a niche, and if I kept the words at 50 on the end of it, that I would be really probably attracting, you know, people that were 50 and over. That was my personal assumption, and I dropped it wanting to broaden, not wanting to pigeonhole myself at that cover and the way that story is written on the front and the back just to as the hook, that I would be limiting myself because I'm making the assumption that it's only for people at 50, and that's not true. Mm-hmm. My story is not, actually would be very beneficial for people in their 20s. So I dropped the at 50, thinking about how they would feel about their life, as opposed to, even though I'm writing the story at 50, that's the truth, but you're going to get that when you read the story. Do you understand?
That's a great walking through of an important concept. Thanks for sharing that. That totally makes sense, and thanks for helping us go with you through the deconstructing of it to how you came to the conclusion. Totally makes sense.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Because I think the title is so important. The title is what tells and sells, and then the subtitle tells the benefit that someone's going to get by reading it. So both of those combined are going to be the initial engagement with anyone, whether they see it on an Amazon page in a bricks and mortar store. The title is going to indicate whether somebody is going to read further to look at the subtitle and then look at the introduction or the preface. And the preface is kind of like the sample section. You get a little taste of what it's going to be like to go on this journey together with the author. And it's, you know, like Baskin Robbins, you get this little bitty spoon, but it's representative of the process. It's going to tell you if you want to go on this journey with this person or not. You're going to know by reading a page or so. Most agents and publishers I've talked to say they can tell. So many say they can tell with the first page of a book proposal whether it's going to be published or not. Some even say the first paragraph, two have said the first sentence. So that's how important it is to begin with the engagement, the challenge, how you resonate with somebody. And this is important whether you're looking at your coaching services, at products, at writing, anything you write. So I think it's quintessentially important. So thank you for sharing that, and that's a great illustration of engagement, really. Other thoughts or questions or comments? How many of you are thinking about developing a product in addition to your coaching services, or have you already developed a product? Whatever that is, teleseminar, webinar, podcast, hard copy, book, course, online course, anybody thinking about developing something in addition to your coaching practices or have developed that you'd like to share with us? Who's hatching some ideas about that? Anyone? Anybody interested in hatching?
I am.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I don't want to take everybody's time, but it's Jerry. I'm using my book as that.
You're keeping me from being lonely here, so go ahead.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
What are you thinking about?
Well, I already my husband and I have a business plan. It is our story, and we are pretty dynamic as a team. He still works for IBM, so our long-term vision is to get him out of there. But right now, he has to go to work every morning, and I'm in the creative mode here, getting the book tied up. But in the meantime, we've called all the Connecticut independent stores, so we have everybody on watch waiting for the book to be published, because we are going to self-publish, because I'm very strong in marketing, and I felt that's what I've been waiting for. And then from that, I'm going to rebuild my website. I took it down. I have very generic things up there. I have a coming soon for the book, and that's really where I'm going to start. And I'm going to work backwards, Dave, actually. I'm going to use the book and be touching people first and foremost. That's probably my greatest strength. And then coming back with a platform, I mean, a program that they can then purchase. I just felt intuitively that I wasn't going to follow the typical path of building the client business without this story that had to come out of me. It took 2 years to get it where it is.
What kind of program are you thinking about specifically? How will that look, be configured?
Kind of, I mean, very much what, that's the reason why I'm still, you know, working with you is that I'm hoping to use Live a New Life Story as the premise of, you know, the basic roadmap model for anything that they want. I'm going to target maybe writers in one regard because of the process and coaching them through the creative process because, again, my strength is the marketing piece. So I can add that on as far as the program. But overcoming those obstacles and the hurdles and, you know, all the things we learned through that case study process is so needed out there. I call it the least plan for life, really. And my previous experience is building shopping centers. So we used to roll out the plan, and when two people, this is probably good for the relationship coach, when two people are merging their lives together, you have to roll it all out and put it all back together the way you want it in the life that you want. And that takes a lot of being very vulnerable and, you know, all the steps that go along with putting together the plan for your life. And that's, and my story kind of supports that. And so I want to use that as a starting point, and then people will hopefully be curious about the story and learning more, and then they'll be driven to the website, and there will be the options to get them started on their roadmap.
Okay.
So.
Okay, great. Interesting sequence. One kind of configuration of a sequence that each of you are familiar with in terms of what I've done is to have various kinds of offerings that, like a teleseminar, that is sort of a practice in which I do maybe two or three, get feedback and refine and get the material really much more experience near and relevant to the people who are interested in it, then put it in a more fixed kind of product that can leverage my time and the impact, such as doing a webinar, such as doing the ebook series that you see, or an online course, to make it then a tangible offering of a product that is not time intensity in after the initial preparation and the testing and the getting all the material and that sort of thing. All the work for me is at the front end of putting it together, which is a total pleasure for me to put together what I most want to learn about. And what you see, the ebook that you have, I recognize I most wanted to learn about the whole area of neuromarketing and saw the incredible material that could be applied for us as coaches from the mind and brain sciences about influence, persuasion, and neuromarketing that, you know, I think has some real tangible application, and then did some series of teleseminars, which an earlier one you guys were invited to, before sort of concretizing it into an ebook series. I'm about to, you'll see in your email box tomorrow a webinar, a four-part webinar series on stress mastery and peak performance. I did the same thing with that before nailing it into a fixed webinar that it's harder to change a webinar or like an ebook. So I did all the work on the front end to really develop it, refine it, get feedback, hear responses, and then put it into a final product. So I'm saying this to encourage you to think about the evolution or the plan of what you want to do with your practice if it involves something in addition to working individually with clients, if you want to develop an online course or an ebook or ebook series or a webinar, that think about how you want to get to that, how you want to back into that goal, and plan about how you would do that. You know, it's sort of analogous to any time you want to break a habit, you don't focus as much on the goal, but you focus on the system. What do you want to do next? And then what do you want to do after next? And like the roadmap is a system. The neuroconditioning chart is a kind of choice architecture system about an emotional trigger and states of mind. Mm-hmm. It's a much more narrower focus, but those are systems, and that's something to think about in terms of what you want to develop and how you want to present what you want to develop that fits your practice, your identity, your offerings, and especially that you'll have terrific fun at doing and creative pleasure in putting together things that you want to know more about. Every book, every white paper, everything I've done has been, what do I most want to learn more about and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts or questions from any of you?
I love the fun part, because it is. It's all of a sudden this creative energy comes when you're learning and how to apply it. That's the best part about it.
Yeah, exactly. Questions that this raises for you? One other thing I wanted to mention is, remember how I've emphasized repeatedly, redundantly, about speaking clearly, briefly, and simply, and to construct questions of no more than 10 words. The subjective experience of the ease or the difficulty to complete a mental task begins with cognitive fluency. In other words, we favor processing information that's easy to understand. That's why our brains stick with us for about 10 words, and then after that we begin to tail off and think about what we're going to have for dinner that night. So we want to align how we communicate with how the mind and the brain works. So we want to go with using less energy to process and comprehend anything. And that's the ultimate expression of the brain's intelligence. So, to make your message instantly more tangible and specific, here are a couple of things to think about. Use analogies and metaphors as shortcuts to help people grasp the essence of what you communicate. Remember, we understand, we make sense of things, we remember stories. So, always begin with a story. You go to any bookstore and go to any section of the bookstore that's nonfiction. Let's say the business or the psychology. Pick up any book that grabs your attention, and chapter one, I guarantee you, will begin with a story. Most of the chapters for books that have made it and last on the shelf at a bookstore have a story at the beginning of each chapter, because that engages. Then you understand what the story is about and the principles and the aspects of it. So use familiar terms and situations when you explain, because we learn best by referencing what we already know. You know, you've heard me say, I never mentioned the origin of this, but remember in the training, as we talked about interacting with a client, tell the client what that client already knows and just a little bit more. That came from a 1945 psychoanalytic paper about what, remember when you cough, if you would mute, because that's right into the microphone. a 1945 paper by a psychoanalyst about some principles of interpretation. Tell the patient exactly what the patient already knows and a little bit more. That's one of the things that did make a transition and application here. So, and that's why, because there's a resonance with what we already know. You've entered that circle by resonating with the client. And whether it's the challenge or what they already know, you are together having formed that foundation so you can go someplace new. I would say remove abstractions and generalizations and instead use concrete examples, maybe even evidence for what you say. You have to work hard. On our part, we have to work hard to create a simple, specific, persuasive message. Remember, those of you who did training at CTA, how deceptively hard the hub statement was to get it to 10 words or less, the who and the benefit. It was way easier to do it 20 or 25 words. I never got mine below 35, but anyhow. And memory is how information's encoded. Memories are created by stories. Let me tell you an application. There's relatively, and this is for especially wellness coaches, there's a relatively new component of medicine called narrative medicine. It's the application of story to understanding patients, pathology, especially wellness. I'm involved in collaborating with the new chairman of narrative medicine at Columbia that's generating a graduate degree in narrative medicine as well as influencing medical and residency training. More to come on that. But so this is something that I think is really important in terms of communicating to keep the person you're communicating with in mind and to resonate with them to help them develop their story, the basics of what we do in coaching and developing that collaborative mindset that boosts up oxytocin, the chemical of bonding and connection. Other thought, I didn't plan to talk nearly this much. I thought you guys would pick it up and ask questions and your challenges. Other thoughts or other things that would be helpful for you to talk about for all of us to address as a group?
Dave, based on what you just said about giving them a little bit, telling them what exactly that they already know and giving them a little bit more, I chose to put like an introduction in my book because it's a memoir to give them a kind of preliminary concept of exactly that. I'm giving them something with a little bit, something they might know by reading the cover and just a little bit more, and then they go into a story. You're absolutely right. Chapter one is a story.
Okay.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts, since I have you on the phone, about an introduction, and have you done that before? Like,
you mean your introduction to your book?
Yes, but in the case of what you're talking about on writing your books, did you? I haven't read one.
Yeah, I would think about an introduction, and I prefer to do my own introductions because I want somebody to get an idea of what it's going to be like for us to go on this journey together. And I may want to tell a story and give an illustration because that's the way I'm going to be talking in the book. So this is an idea, maybe an overview, but it's an overview that will give someone a real taste within a couple of pages of what it's going to be like. And stories are, you know, simply how we engage somebody. I can get this pretty close. I'm a big fan of Antonio Damasio. He's a neuropsychiatrist now on the West Coast. He said the problem of how to make all this wisdom understandable, transmissible, persuasive, enforceable, how to make it stick is storytelling. Storytelling is the solution. Storytelling is something brains do naturally and implicitly. So it should be no surprise that it pervades the entire fabric of human societies and cultures. So the essence of persuasive stories is it is a story. It's how we organize and remember. It involves the left and right brain, the story and then what it's about. The story needs a punchline. In other words, how do you bring it all together and what's your takeaway? It needs to engage the full attention of the listener or reader and create a kind of narrative transportation. You engage on this journey together. And that means that we need to tell stories or write stories with full confidence and passion. It needs to sound like us talking. So for your introduction, read it out loud and maybe even record it to see if it sounds like you talking, not sounds like you writing. I'd say the same for the book, but this is often the test of, say, a hub statement. Does it really sound like you talking? If we were to sit together out on the patio, have a glass of wine, and I say, what do? And you say your hub statement, would it really sound like you telling me in conversation what you do that I get it, that I want to say, tell me more? That's the key of success of a hub statement is tell me more. That's the key of success of an introduction of any sort, especially of a book, tell me more. Well, yeah, tell me more means you're going to buy the book. Yeah, okay. So that's one way of thinking about it.
I love that.
Ideas.
Yeah, please. I'd love to hear other people's input on that.
But what were you about to say?
I was just going to say that I've read it out loud. I've read it many times. I've had other people read it to me, but what I'm going to do when I hang up is I'm going to record myself. I think that is an excellent, wonderful tip right there. Thank you.
I've done writers' workshops, and one of the most interesting things, and I've done writers' groups before, is to have someone else in the group read a passage that you've written and have the group discuss it, and you don't get to interrupt because the person reading it is reading it for the first time, just like any reader does, so that you don't get to say, oh, you need to pause there, or wait a minute, what this means is this. You have to listen to it as a reader would hear it, and that means that it's more objective, and other people are reading it more objectively, and the feedback can be really valuable in that sense because it's a different perspective.
That's a great piece of advice. I'm going to do that too.
There are writers' groups, probably in any area, that, you know, 10 or 12 people or however many that do something like that. And can be valuable when you're putting together something, or any of you who have an idea for a project or a product or just for your coaching, get two or three of your buddies who are outspoken, buy them lunch or coffee and ask them to give you feedback on something, whether it's a hub statement or an idea for something, and just listen and not explain and not interrupt them, but just listen to see how it flies with them and what kind of advice you may get. Other thoughts? Questions? Let me share something, since you asked, that those of you who, Lauren, I know you were at the New England ICF workshop, and something I shared a version of at the presentation I just did in the workshop I just did in Miami Beach, is to look at the kinds of things that you may not think about in terms of persuasion, the context in which persuasion unfolds that can become an important consideration. And I think I used the example in the New England ICF workshop of a current client. I can't say anything more other than in the financial arena, who was about to have a very important meeting with a client that would result or not with a $30 million decision for investment. So he said, Dave, what kind of, this is a mentor coaching client, he said, Dave, what kind of ideas do you have about meeting? And we had talked about a number of things. He said, do you have anything else? I said, yeah, just a couple of things. How long will the meeting be? When do you plan to have a break? And when do you plan to have a food or a lunch break? And he told me these. And I said, here's what I want us to think about. A study of the decision-making characteristics of 8 parole judges in Israel was reported in the National Academy of Sciences. These judges were studied for their decisions over 3 years. It was a really well-conducted study. Their average parole rate was 35%. Now, after a mid-morning and mid-afternoon snack, as well as lunch, the parole rate doubled. It was 65%. At the time when their blood glucose was lowest, just before lunch, and just before the end of the day, the parole rate was almost 0%. So we looked at configuring when he would have the food brought in terms of when the movement would be to the client's decision about that $30 million. Now, emotional states can activate unconscious biases as well. And this is a study dear to my heart. 16 years of case files of judges with bachelor degrees from Louisiana State University found that the judges gave significantly harsher sentences after LSU lost a home football game that it was expected to win. So all kinds of emotional things.
That was a good one. I like that.
Can cloud decisions. One other thing that I asked my guy, I said, where do you plan to sit during this discussion, and where will your client sit during the discussion? And he told me. And I said, here's what my recommendation is based on. There were 2 studies out of Italy very recently that showed that when someone speaks into a recipient's right ear, the positive response rate is 75% more successful than speaking into the person's left ear. He said, I know where I'm going to sit. I mean, who knew? I've been talking into my wife's left ear all this time. So things that shouldn't make any difference, but when they do, it's nice to know what makes a difference. Various kinds of unconscious biases are anchored or framed by immediately what's preceding. So it's very useful to understand how the mind and the brain operate when we're helping people with developing their stories personally and professionally so that they can incorporate this into what they do, and it can make our work immensely more valuable. So we've got just a minute. Again, I talked way more than I planned to. Anything anybody would like to add or ask or say before we have to stop? I'll send around a link with the recording for anybody who wasn't able to make it. And anything that you want to send me, any announcements, any links to a website, any new developments or products or services, send that to me, and I'll send it around to our group.
Dave, can you just forward the book cover that I gave you? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I can do it
as an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it? I forgot. Was it an attachment when you sent it to me?
I sent it on my Mac. Yeah, it should be an attachment.
Okay, send it as an attachment, and I can easily attach it.
Okay, I will.
In the body of the email.
Okay.
So anything any of you want me to forward to our group, send to me a link, anything, an announcement, let me know. Thank you all for your input, your energy. I hope this was helpful. And let me know if I can be of help to you in any way. I'm here. So thanks so much. And it was great getting together.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, super. Bye, guys.
Bye.